magic number. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, blah, blah.
Magic blah, blah, blah. Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity.
Magic number. Yeah.
Past, present,
was there a yabba dabba doo in there?
Yabba dabba dabba. No, yabba dabba doo.
Okay. There's a big difference between yabba dabba doo and yabba dabba doo, I want to tell you. Let me let you know that as we listen to the questions that will be asked by a special guest.
Hello, Bob. I have three questions for you. Number one, will the Vikings miss Matt Cassel?
Yeah. They'll be fine because they, you know, traded him to the Buffalo Bills for an undisclosed draft pick. I'm guessing there's no way it's better than a fourth. I don't even know if it would be a fourth. Probably like a fifth-round pick, fifth or sixth. Or maybe they actually put a contingency on it that it has to be, you know, based on performance. I think he will wind up being their starter. Certainly wasn't going to be the starter here, not with Teddy Bridgewater. I think they'll find somebody in free agency. They need a veteran, though. They're not going to – I think they will draft a quarterback in one of the later rounds. They always bring in somebody from, you know, free agency. The college free agents who don't get drafted there. But they got to get a free agent in here who's a veteran and could – that they feel could step in. And as we talked about Jake Locker earlier. We both liked him coming out of college. Injuries didn't help him. And, you know, maybe with North Turner he could develop. I guarantee you – there is a guy that they're confident they can get at a good price in free agency because North Turner can work and his son can work with. There's somebody there they really want. Maybe they already know they'll get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to make this deal, because you did have a guy that could have been a very adequate and good backup. I mean, he's probably very happy too because he knew he could see it. He was never going to start here unless Teddy Bridgewater got hurt. And the Vikings certainly are hoping and praying that don't happen.
Doesn't kind of just look like Buffalo's doing what we did with Cassel a couple of years ago? Bring him in to bring competition with EJ Manuel over there, and we did it to compete with Ponder.
See, I'm not a big Manuel, or I like Christian Ponder as a guy. I think he's a real good guy, but this is not the right place for him. He needs to be elsewhere and will be. But what's interesting is at the start of the show, Mark Brunell, you had him there. He said everything we've said before.
Mm-hmm.
When Cassel first came and then the second tour, he's a game manager. That's all you want. See, game manager, it's almost like a buzzword. He sucks, but he's a game manager. He won't hurt you. You want a game manager. No, you want a guy like Teddy Bridgewater who has the potential to take you to different levels. By that, you know, make you a playoff team and not just a playoff team, a team that could actually win once in the playoffs and give you a shot at the Super Bowl.
Especially in nowadays pass-happy NFL.
Yeah.
You don't need a game manager. You need someone
who can
air it out.
Yeah, who can throw the ball and helpful if there's guys that can catch it. And we'll find out. You've been checking to see if they've left the house yet, haven't you? Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer. If they're
haven't
still,
heard anything yet.
Maybe they're still having tea and crumpets with AP. Adrian Peterson went down to Woodlands. That's an area down there in Texas where the pricey homes are. Hugged it out when they first met Spielman and AP, a little hugging. That's always a good sign for the Viking fans if they want AP to come back. I would think the hug out would tell me that he has a good relationship with Spielman, and he has a good relationship with Zimmer, even though it didn't really get a chance to develop because he was gone for all but the first game. But I think that Mike Zimmer, I would have brought North Turner too if I were them to get mm-hmm. him excited about how he wants to use him. But Zimmer and the GM probably figure they can talk to him enough. I just think AP will feel a lot better about it when they leave. What they have to do is clean things up between the agent, Ben Dagra, and I'm sure there's no issue on the part of Rob Brzezinski, but Brzezinski and Dagra are the guys that have to talk if they're going to try to get AP to redo his deal. And they had a little disagreement, we'll say, during the scouting combine where they had to be separated by the former GM of Tampa Bay, Mark Domenech, now a big TV guy. So anyway, but getting back to the original one, yeah, they're not going to miss Matt Cassel. They'll find somebody. They will put it this way. If they pick the wrong guy in free agency and Teddy Bridgewater goes down and that guy sucks, then, yeah, they'll miss him. But I don't think they're going to. I don't see it being an issue. If he was going to be a starter, yes, but he's not starting for the Vikings, not with Teddy Bridgewater. That kid's got a great career ahead of him.
Number two,
yes,
do you think the Vikings will trade Adrian Peterson?
I would have said chances of that are a lot stronger after what we're hearing over the weekend and AP. AP's trying to get leverage with the Vikings, and they're trying to get leverage with him. The fact that Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman went down to his place in Texas, they didn't have to if they were thinking of trading him. I think it's more than window dressing where they're doing it so that people know, hey, we want to keep them, try to drive up the price. Now, maybe they are, but, you know, I think if they're not just in there, what would they be playing Twister? Do you imagine those? Mike Zimmer, Rick Spielman, and Adrian Peterson playing Twister. You ever play Twister? Is that a game long before you came along?
I played it.
Played with a gal or another guy? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Played a bunch of people at the same time.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. So, okay, it was all a bunch of guys from college. All right, I got you. You know what? I'm completely fine with that. I don't have a problem. Whatever you'd like, you do. It's your life.
I don't like playing Twister.
You don't like playing Twister?
No.
I haven't played it since. I played it with my cousins when I was little. You really got to be pretty limber to play that game. I tell you who'd be good at it. Herschel Walker's son, Christian, who's the cheerleader gymnast. He'd be damn good at that one. What else you got?
And finally, if the Cowboys are the likeliest team to acquire AP, who is the second likeliest?
Well, I will say this. I would say it's the Indianapolis Colts. And I think the Colts are going to try to get DeMarco Murray, which could amp it up for Dallas to go after Peterson. So that is a team with a lot of cap space, a lot of money to spend. And Adrian Peterson is, as a running back, best running back in the league. But for what the Colts want, DeMarco Murray might actually be a better fit because he can catch the ball. They need a guy who can run and catch. And AP, yes, he can catch the ball, but he doesn't have the great soft hands. Actually, what they should have been going after is LeSean McCoy, who wound up in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm still surprised by that trade, too.
Chip Kelly's he has all the power. Look what he got rid of DeSean Jackson last year because he was pissing him off. Yeah. He wants his guys, guys that buy into him and his system and fit it.
I just thought that LeSean McCoy was going to be a part of a trade during the draft to move up so they could take Marcus Mariota so you could get one of his duck guys
back. You absolutely
back.
Have a lot more options when you can do that and when you have a guy like that. But I think that he's going to find a way to do it anyway. He'll just sell out on draft picks. And you really have to look at it that way. Chip Kelly's offense, I mean, that's how he got the job is because of the play of Marcus Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way he played for him, that would have been, what, his sophomore year? And, you know, who came before him? Do you remember? Who was the quarterback at Oregon before Mariota?
Before Mariota. No, it wasn't Joey Harrington.
No. Well, you know what? The point is, if he is convinced that Mariota can run his offense and get them to a Super Bowl, he'll sell out on it. He'll do whatever it takes to get him. Because his offense, I mean, there's times that offense looks incredible. But other times, you know, he's forcing quarterbacks who really weren't, their game is not that type of an offense to play it. Get Mariota running an offense, and I'm sure he feels it would be a sweet running machine.
Yeah.
So that would be the thing we'd have to keep an eye on. Let's take a quick break. Right? Wanna do that? What would you do there? Am I on, or did you hit the button that put me off?
You're still good.
So if I said let's play something, you couldn't now because you hit that button, right? You can't put any sound effects. Because you hit that button.
I could have a different button. It'd take me a little bit, quite a bit longer.
Amazing to give you the power here with those buttons. Take a quick break. Come back. Talk to St. Thomas men's basketball coach. That's all right. That's it. Mock John Tower. I'm going to tell him you did that. Now, talk to John Tower, the coach of the Tommies. They're going into the NCAA tournament already. March Madness starting for them. He also is a psychology professor over at St. Thomas. I always like getting him takes on the psychology of many things sports related. We'll talk to John upon our return.
Now it's time to crown a champion. The Minnesota Boys High School Hockey Championships on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Forehand back and scores!
Both Class A and Double A. Every game of the state tournament on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday will be live right here. Coverage starts Thursday at 11 a.m.
Blocks the shot, races in on goal.
Presented by Nature's Fury NutraDrink.
This is Pete Wagner. Wall-to-wall coverage on your home for the boys' state tournament. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
The Bob Sansevier Show. Only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
This has been cleared, right? He liked it last week?
No way! Guest.
He didn't like it last week.
I have no idea if I played it this
week. The walk-up, talk-up music for the winner of both the regular season and the tournament titles in the MIAC, we'll John Tower out from St. Thomas. John, you okay with this?
You know, I think I am, although, Bob, I have a good friend who is, she's trying to pick out some music. She heard you last week, and she's like, all right, I'm on this case. So Becky is out there working on it right now, my music assistant.
Okay, well, tell her to sell it. To, send it to Hellboy at Ticket.com. Is that what you take that by? Did you take Hellboy at Ticket.com? You need to set that up.
That.
No, you don't have that?
I'll be sending it to nothing.
We'll have to work on that one. John, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. It was a great weekend. Two games that came down to the wire. First game on Friday against Gustavus. We hit a buzzer beater to send it to overtime and then prevailed and then withstood a missed three-pointer by Bethel to buzzer to win by three. So it was two, sellout crowd, electric atmospheres, and just, you know, as good as it gets.
And you, Division III starts March Madness, like, in a couple of days, right?
Yeah, we open up first round of the national tournament Friday, so 62 teams make the tournament, and we're thrilled to be one of them.
Who do you get Friday? Who'd you draw?
Friday, we're playing Northwestern and Roseville. We're going on the road to, so we got two schools about 10 miles from each other, and we're going to De Pere, Wisconsin to play each other on Friday.
Wait a minute. You're playing Northwestern of Roseville. Sorry about that. And you have to go to De Pere to play them? They couldn't find anything closer?
Well, that's a long story. But our women are hosting. They're having a great year as well, and they alternate years who gets priority. So while we were the first seed in the West, we end up going on the road. And so we'll play Northwestern and Roseville on Friday, and then if we win, we play the winner of Elmhurst out of Illinois and St. Norbert's, who's 24-1 and ranked. They're ranked in the top five in the country too. So it's it's one of those things. In March, you see all good teams, and that's certainly the case here.
Jeez, it doesn't take long to get to a good team right away. In the second round, you could be facing one.
Well, yeah, Northwestern. We on our win of the national championship 4 years ago, we played them in the first round, and they had us behind with 5 minutes to go. So they're very well coached. They shoot threes exceptionally well. So it'll be, that will have our work cut out for us on Friday night, and hopefully we get a chance to play Saturday.
Now, talking to John Tower, the coach at St. Thomas, also a psychology professor at St. Thomas. Now, do you schedule them at all during the regular season? I know you didn't play them this year.
Yeah, we haven't played them in several years. We used to, and actually Tim Gross, a friend of mine who coaches there, we're talking about scheduling a game, not next year, but the following one. It's convenient, and they're always... they're always really good. They're at the top of the UMAC conference every year. They went 14-0 this year, and so it's a good game for us. We'd like to play in the future.
So if they were in the MIAC, I mean, you two would be battling right down to the wire, I would think, right?
Oh, they'd be, they'd be a good team. I think they played four or five MIAC teams this year, and I'm not sure exactly what their record. I think they were 1-4, 2-3, but they're, they can play with anybody. They've had tough trials the last several years. They played Whitewater in 2012, 2014, and Whitewater won the national title. They played us in 2011. So three of the last 4 years they've been in the tournament.
Okay.
They played in the opening round, the eventual national champ.
Now, as I mentioned, talking to John Tower. John, the great thing about talking to you, we can talk basketball, we can talk psychology. And I want to ask you about the psychology part, because you're a professor at St. Thomas. Adrian Peterson has thrown out a lot over the last couple of weeks that he's clearly not happy the way he's been sending out his agent about the Vikings. And, even though he's trying to portray himself as a victim, it would appear, it was all caused by him. But people don't always see that they're the ones causing it. What I'm getting at is Rick Spielman, the general manager of the Vikings, and Mike Zimmer, the coach, went to his home today. And as far as we know, they're still together. How important is that in the psychology of an athlete to have them fly down to your home to let a guy know that they want to mend the fence? I would think that's a pretty big thing. And your experience, from what you would think of the psychology of it, does it often work?
Well, yeah. Let's address the second one first. Assuming Peterson has an open mind and hasn't made up his mind yet, I think it can be very effective. Now, there are times that, in the recruiting process, you can tell when, no matter how many times you see a guy play, how many times you call him, his mind's made up. No different than anything else in life, right? When we're going to make a purchase, sometimes your mind's made up. But that said, I absolutely think it's essential that when you're talking about a guy like Peterson, who knows his window of being one of the top running backs in the world is closing quickly, and given the last year with the Vikings, and as you said, most of it he brought on to himself, but I think he's absolutely probably being incredibly careful trying to figure out, okay, where am I going to be wanted? Because with the last, kind of the reception from the public last year, he certainly does not want to go through that, which is understandable. Yep. All the things he did wrong, who would want to go play in a place where he's not wanted? So I think the psychology of it, he needs, probably far more important than the money, he needs to know, I'm going to a place that really wants me. And
that makes sense.
To have me.
Now, John, the other thing I want to ask you about is the what has happened? We've talked about them when they were really bad, about the psychology of how do you get better. But the way they've played, I'm talking about the Wild here, since Devin Dubnyk arrived, how often have you seen that for a team? Because a lot of this had to be mental. There were certainly physical issues, too, with guys being hurt and the illnesses. But for them to collectively turn their game around over one player.
Yeah, you know, I think we talked about this, I don't know if it was a month, 6 weeks ago, but the Wild were, you know, struggling. I think the analogy we use is, in many ways, it's like a chemistry experiment that you don't know what's going to be the right button. And sometimes in hindsight, you think that shouldn't have made that big a difference. But sometimes just a little something, whether it's a couple guys getting healthy, whether it's a new guy, and then, you know, clearly winning begets winning and success begets success. So that's the other part of it, is maybe a new guy infuses a little energy, they get a couple wins, and all of a sudden all the other junk, all the other kind of garbage is forgotten, and now they're just playing hockey. So it's not, you know, it's hard to establish scientific, you know, causality for why. If we could do that as coaches, we'd all do it. But it really, I think you're right. Sometimes it's one or two things that lead to sort of this positive snowball effect.
It's really, I mean, it has been incredible. They're the hottest team, you know, in the NHL right now, the way they're playing. And it's really all is on one guy. Devin Dubnyk is what turned this thing around for him.
And my guess is their coaches would probably say, we've had sleepless nights, we've tried everything and nothing worked, and why would this make such a big difference? Because one guy, in theory, shouldn't and really can't make that big a difference. Yet, you know, certainly the results, nobody's going to argue with it, and hopefully they keep it rolling.
Now, I want to go back to what you have been able to do at St. Thomas, and that it's going to lead us into the next thing. Well, I want to talk to you about what the Twins did going to Paul Molitor. You know, making him the manager. You replaced the guy coming off a national championship, Steve Fritz, right? You took over the year after, or the next season, is that right? Or he didn't have a year in between, did he?
No, that's right. So I was his assistant for 11 years, won the title in 2011, and Steve retired and shook my hand and said, hey, the only way place you can go is down from here, so good luck.
Yes. Well, and you know, and that was, you've done a hell of a job with your program there by replacement. It doesn't always work for a guy that replaces the guy who won whatever the championship was, but that's why I'm leading into to the Paul Molitor question, because Rottengard and I are, I mean, the team's, you know, 4 years of 90-plus losses. Isn't it, it's a lot easier for him to come in, and the chances of success are much higher because there is a new energy and a new chemistry at the top. Am I, you know, and again, I'm talking as both a basketball coach at St. Thomas and a professor of psychology at St. Thomas. Isn't that a good place for him to be in and for the team to have him in that position?
Oh, I think there's no question, at least going into the season. I think you've probably got three factors at work, and you alluded to all of them. One is you've got the new energy, and that alone is probably worth something, at least at the start of the year, right? Spring training, all the drills, yep. Everybody's into it. Second, statistically, you've got regression to the mean that, you know, if a guy takes over a college football team that was 0-11, he's going to have an infinitely better record the next year, even if only wins one game. And everybody says, well, we improved. So in that sense, Molitor, it would be hard to imagine them losing more than 95 games next year. And even if they do, if they lose 95, people probably say, well, that's where we've been. It's going to take us a while. And then the third thing is they do have a lot of young talent that you would expect just through natural progression would develop as professional baseball players. So I think it's a great situation for him. And he's probably not expected to win 90 games this year. If they can come close to 500, I think people would feel like we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's I don't see them losing 90 games again because the pitching is better. And I think that there's going to be, I mean, some of the young players are going to be stepping up even more with their game. So I think I actually think you finish closer to 500 than certainly to 90. We're not talking about a great number of games here. I mean, it's 9 games from 90 to 81 to finish 500. And I do think they'll be a lot closer to that, maybe even 500 or better, which some people may think, whoa, but the pitching is better. Bringing Irv Santana and Phil Hughes coming back, and if they get some good starts from some of these veteran pitchers and young ones too, it could be a lot better for them.
Absolutely.
And John, for you, it's What we need from you next week, we'll talk about your wins in advancing the NCAA tournament, but you got to get that friend of yours to get Hellboy that music.
We'll see what we can do, and we're really looking forward to Friday night. Appreciate you having us on, Bob. It means a lot.
John, I thoroughly enjoy having you on. It's a lot of fun to talk to you, and I mean, your dual role is it's great that you know, being a coach and a psychology professor, you come at things, and quite honestly, every successful coach is an expert in psychology, but they don't have that doctor in front of it, Dr. John Tower.
Well, as long as I don't forget the motivation class, you'd have to ask the students I taught this morning to see if it's worth anything.
See if it's done anything for them. John, thanks again, and have a great weekend. Kick some ass.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. John Tower, coach at St. Thomas men's basketball team, starting the Division III tournament this weekend. And also, as I mentioned, professional psychology. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we will be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
If you put on 23, you put Jordan on your back, and that's what Zach LaVine did. He really lived up to the moment.
In one of the biggest stages in basketball.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
We are joined from Fort Myers by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Now, Jim, I saw some of your tweets. You asked, watching Spielman, Zim, and AP, I asked, can't we move past the bro hug? Nux is all you need. What would have been the best sign for Viking fans? The bro hug, the chest bump, the knuckles, the dap? Well, dap is Nux hitting Nux too, right? Would there have been one that said, boy, it's going to work? They're going to want to have him back.
I think they do want him back. The question is whether he wants to come back. And I think the best sign for Viking fans who want Adrian to come back, that's not unanimous, but probably majority, would have been the leaping chest bump with Adrian Peterson wearing like a cream-colored three-piece suit.
That would have been
instead,
good.
Instead, you got the bro hog wearing a T-shirt. That's not quite the same.
a very good point. And I love your little thing about Spielman, because we've both been through plenty of press conferences. His first word to Peterson will be, have to wonder if his first word to Peterson will be, again, because he does start him like that.
It cracks me up. We haven't talked to Spielman in 2 months, and he convenes for some kind of a draft press conference, and he gets up and he says, again. No, Rick, you haven't said anything to us yet.
No.
I think Rick, and I'm not even saying it's a bad thing. It's just a personality trait.
It's a tick.
He lives inside his own head. So by the time he talks to us, he's already rehearsed that speech so many times, he feels like he's repeating himself.
And that's, you've just explained it there, why he would do something like that. Now, what do you think will come out of this? I mean, they got to be talking about something. You think it'll be, when the Vikings leave, do you think that AP will feel better about returning to them?
Yes. I think, listen, everything we've seen from Adrian Peterson in the last, 8 months or whatever, has been immature behavior. Beating a child's immature behavior at best, feeling persecuted because you beat a child is really immature.
Yep.
Not being grateful to the Vikings for paying your salary when you weren't playing for them is really immature. Getting public votes of confidence from the Vikings while you're going through it and not appreciating is really immature. Acting like you need to move to another state after you've already kind of served your punishment, and that's kind of immature. And I think wearing a T-shirt and doing the bro hug thing is a little immature too. So I think that the fact that Spielman's very intense, Zimmer is very believable. I think he's an honest guy. Where Spielman's more of a politician, I think Zimmer speaks from the heart and people trust him. I really think that conversation could go a long way. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, listen, we love you. We want to feature you in the offense. We think we can win with you next year. We're sorry all this happened, and we'll pay you all the money that you're due. I mean, Adrian would be an idiot to turn that down.
Yeah, he would if he can get what he's got coming to him. Now, the thing about right now, Adrian, there's five teams that supposedly he said the Cowboys, the Cardinals, the Colts, the Chargers, and Tampa Bay. Well, Tampa Bay has got to be all Leslie Frazier based, and he must know Lovey too, or he wouldn't. That one makes no sense, though, for a guy who's going to be 30 and wants to win it. Maybe he doesn't want to win a title, just want to go someplace warm and enjoy his twilight years.
Well, they do desperately need a running back. They have nothing back there. Doug Martin turned out to be a bust.
Yeah.
And I know he likes Leslie, but he also was driven kind of crazy by the fact that by you know, he was kind of driven crazy in Musgrave's last year as a coordinator, the way he was used. He's raved about North Turner. So I just, even if you love Leslie Frazier, I just don't see enough promise there to go play there at this age. Cardinals make sense. Chargers make sense. Cowboys make sense if they were getting rid of DeMarco Murray. I'm not sure the Bucks. And the Colts make sense. You know, they might be, you know, you have Luck and Peterson and good young receivers like Moncrief. All of a sudden, I mean, that could be the best offense in the NFL really quickly.
I'll tell you what, you know, Ursay is a guy that he would like to make a big splash. Yep. And that would be one heck of a splash if he can pull that one off. And I'm curious to see what does come out of this, if they, you know, what he does do. If he starts making comments about it, he felt good about it, I would have sent North Turner too, but maybe they didn't want to bring three. They just wanted to, you know, they probably didn't use the private jet, didn't want to fly two guys first class or three guys first class. It's saving a little money. Maybe saving the money for AP.
That'd be a little silly when you're talking about a $12 million decision.
Yeah, but teams have made decisions like that before.
I know. It drives me crazy. In fact, I'm standing here in Hammond Stadium as the Twins take DP before playing the Gophers, and I can't tell you how many times in history I've seen the Twins hand out a big contract in the offseason, and then come spring training, like, argue about how many balls they're allowed to use for batting practice. It's amazing that, you know, and you see it with employees in pro sports, too. You see, you know, the top of the food chain will be making $10, $15, $20 million. The GM will be making $2, $3 million. And then the guys who work 80-hour weeks to keep things running behind the scenes will be making $6.75 an hour.
Well, and that's absolutely right. But also, over the years, when teams are recruiting free agents, they fly them in. Sometimes they're flying in coach.
Yep.
If you want a free agent, send your private jet for them. That's how you tantalize these guys. And
send the Hooters jet for them.
That would really tantalize them.
Yeah.
That'd get them in. Now, this thing is here. It's the first of tomorrow they're playing a real game. And today you got the Gophers. Anything happen? Is there any news down there? Is everybody healthy now?
Yeah, it's really a remarkably quiet, healthy camp right now. The cool thing about tonight is you can say it's just the Gophers, but what I like about what Molitor's doing tonight is he's playing his top prospects. So you got Buxton leading off. You got Vargas batting cleanup. You got Sano batting fifth. You got Rosario in the lineup. You got Berrios pitching. You got Perkins pitching. So this feels, you know, usually when they play a college team, they like play their starters a couple innings, and they bring in the scrubs, and it devolves pretty quickly. You're going to see some great high-end talent out here. I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm a sucker for any baseball this time of the year, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and that would mean that he's got guys in there that are the ages are very comparable, particularly with the Gopher seniors.
Yeah, there'll be Gopher seniors who are older than Buxton Snow.
Yeah, because what Buxton is what? Is he 22 now?
20 or 21, somewhere.
He's be 21. He was born December 18th, 1993, so he would be still 21. Yeah, there are guys that would be, then that's a good way to, you know, that's the best way to do it, to have the young guys going against the Gophers, because it'll be fun for both of them. You get a chance to see that. Now, weather? Better weather than here, I'm guessing, when it was sub-zero.
It's amazing. I mean, 90. It's been 90 today. It's going to be like 77 at first pitch, which I don't know what could be better than that. But, you know, there are a couple of rainy days my first week here. It's been spectacular since then.
Well, Jim, I hope you got the zinc oxide out, and you're not peeling or anything, are you? That'd be terrible.
It would be a tragedy. It would be a tragedy of epic proportions. Yesterday I overdid it. I was out watching some guys take DP I was interested in, and I stood there too long with everything on, and I'm lobster colored, but that is not something I'm willing to complain about.
Do you pack just one pair of long pants when you go to spring training? I mean, is it mostly a couple of shorts or just shorts? You got to bring at least one pair.
I always pack. I'm an overpacker. I don't know why, but I've always been a chronic overpacker in all my travels. I packed three pairs of jeans. I've used one.
Yeah, why would you ever put them on?
Yeah, you put them, you know, maybe at night if you're going to a decent restaurant.
Yeah.
But I like dives, so I don't even need jeans for that.
Yeah, boy, you are smart for extending this out. Now, by the way, starting Friday, we could be there'll be temperatures that go, you know, below freezing, but the high, it looks like we may be out for the high from now on of being under freezing. It's starting to move up.
Believe me, I've been looking at the long-term forecast. That is awesome.
Well, you're not coming back, though, you said, until like July, right?
Actually, I've been in Fort Myers in July. You don't want to be in Fort Myers in July.
No.
It's actually kind of a crappy, way too hot and humid town once you get to the summer. It's just perfect this time of the year. I'm coming back actually next Tuesday, I believe.
Okay.
I'll always take as much time as I can get in spring training, but I'll be be able to bring home a bunch of good stuff after spending time near the act. It's a, you know, with Torrey and Eddie and Mankiewicz back, it's a hell of a clubhouse now.
By the way, we have Sam Ekstrom, who's on 105theticket.com, and he does a Sunday show for us, 8 to 10, the wake-up call. He told me right after you got off the air what Eddie Guardado explained. And, yes, that would be difficult to talk about on the radio.
I told you, I was telling Eddie, no, don't tell it. Not even on a podcast, don't tell it. But Eddie, with the opportunity to be told there are no FCC guidelines, he used the F word about 85 times, and he told the most disgusting baseball story I've ever heard. And I've heard some disgusting baseball stories.
Now, I'm not going to get, we're not going to say what it was, but the question, it involved another player.
Yeah.
And he told, I know the other player obviously got pissed when he heard about it. Did he throw up all over the place? Did he say what he did?
Eddie said that he was offended, that he, you know, rinsed his mouth out for a couple hours, but he did not say that he upchucked.
You'd almost want to turn your mouth inside out if it was possible.
Maybe I'm a little more sensitive than the individual involved. I think it would be justifiable manslaughter.
Yeah.
To kill the guy who did this to you.
This is when you risk gargling with bleach just to clean out your mouth. And we're not going to go into it. We won't go into any more detail.
That's
Let's
enough.
Just say, That's as enough. Jim put it, it was pretty disgusting what Eddie
it
did
was.
To this poor guy.
Eddie's a sicko. And unlike most baseball sickos, he's willing to admit it.
Yeah. Now, can we, you know, we didn't say what it was, but it's no problem if we, you need to listen to SuhanUnfiltered.com to get the full story. But it involved a dental product.
Yeah, well, as I say, if you like disgusting stories, listen to the whole thing. If you don't like disgusting stories, fast forward to the 10-minute mark and then just listen to Eddie talking about his life in baseball and you know, all kinds of other good stuff that isn't disgusting.
Yeah, and, well, but with that buildup, everyone has to listen. You're not going to let that go by. So it's
I would think not.
It is a hell of a story. And now you mentioned, I saw on Twitter, you mentioned you got at Twins present meeting. You've talked to
Dave St. Peter
on Paul Molitor, Jim Polad, Torrey Hunter. And you're waiting a few days. You have a few others to release. You're starting to release them too. Because tough to top that one.
I'm trying to get a nice backlog so I just have good baseball content through the whole of March. So I'm gonna tape as many as I can in the next 4 or 5 days and then kind of space them out.
Which is a great idea to do it that way. And well, you'll be back Tuesday, but we'll talk. You know, Jim, we have high school hockey tomorrow.
Okay.
We won't talk to you until Monday.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah, because
will you survive? How will the radio station survive?
I don't know. But you know what? It's great that we do the AA games on 105 The Ticket, and all of them can be heard on 105 The Ticket.
Excellent.
So it's good. I mean, it's the State High School Hockey Tournament. People love that event.
It's a great event. I've covered it a couple times. And, you know, usually I'm so busy in March with other stuff I can't get to it, but every once in a while I go out and pick up a story, and it's a great atmosphere.
Well, everybody that follows it, all they're talking about is the prospect of once beaten Edina facing undefeated Lakeville North in the championship
mm-hmm.
game. But I'll tell you what, though, along the way, either one of those teams can get knocked off because there is talent in that tournament. So it'll be fun.
My kids all went to Lakeville North, and they were never really all that good in hockey. Now all of a sudden, boom. And it doesn't surprise me because they've had a bunch of like hockey-themed workout and training centers open up in the Lakeville-Burnsville area. I think the kids have gotten a lot more serious about it in that area.
Well, and they have one family that moved there, the Pulling family. They've got their line, two twins and then the younger brother. That team, that's one hell of a line, and it's one hell of a team. Jim,
I thought only Edina was allowed to recruit.
That's a good point. They better talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Jim, it's great talking. We'll talk to you next week. Jim Suhan, Star Tribune, SuhanUnfiltered.com. We're going to take a quick break. You know what? The nanosecond we get back, Hellboy is going to run down the games already played with the scores for you in the Class A high school tournament. And we're going to be talking more about AP, talking about Matt Castle. And we need to hear from you if you want tickets to the state high school tournament on Friday, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. You call, you talk to us, you convince us why you should get them. Give us your best sob story. The best reason it should be for you. Pull at our, tug at our heartstrings, and yeah, that's what it takes to get them. But give us a call, 651-989-9105, or just call, threaten to hurt Hellboy, and he'll probably give them to you. We'll be right back.
sports and legal issues. They don't mix very often, do they? Join Marsh Hallberg with Bob Sansevier every Tuesday afternoon at 3.
State records show that Minnesotans spent more than a billion dollars on charitable gambling this last year.
Not counting the tribal casinos?
Right.
They bet it illegally then.
There was $100 million bet legally on the Super Bowl in the United States this year. Illegal betting? $3.8 billion.
Wow.
Marsh Hallberg, every Tuesday afternoon at 3. Powered by Smart Start MN. 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I have one note that would blow out the microphone. I can do one operatic note. Very loud, very long. We won't do that. What we will do, though, is have Hellboy here give you the get you up to date on the Class A scores at the state high school tournament. And then we're going to give away tickets to the Class AA tomorrow. We want your sob story, 651-989-9105. Best sob story wins. Go ahead.
Well, Matamidi beat New Ulm 6-3. Jack Becker tallied himself a nice little hattie in that game. And then currently we've got East Grand Forks up on New Prague 2-0 with about 3.5 minutes to go in the game.
Not bad. Good deal. Let's go to line one. Who's that?
We got...
Who dat? Hello?
Eric in Cambridge.
Hello?
Eric from Cambridge. Let's hear your sob story. You want those tickets? Let's hear it.
All right. Well, my name's Eric, and it's actually my friend's sob story.
Sure it is. Go ahead.
I got a buddy named Jarrett who he grew up playing hockey.
Right.
And then he went to college and played hockey. And then he became a teacher and got into hockey coaching and then got married, had a family. He's got four boys. They all play hockey. He teaches physical education up here. And this last August, he was diagnosed with a tumor on the right side of his brain that affected his facial nerves and some of his auditory optic nerves. And what happened was he went down to Rochester early September and had surgery, cranial surgery, but they weren't able to take the tumor out because the nerves had grown around it, and they feared that he would have some facial paralysis if they took it out, so they didn't. And then later in the fall, he went in under some sort of procedure that was called a gamma knife, which is supposed to have taken care of the tumor, and by all accounts, it did. But he was off the whole fall from work, and he just came back after Christmas break to teaching. And he's doing pretty good, but he's a huge hockey fan, and I just wanted to do something nice for him and maybe get him to the state hockey tournament because he likes to go every year.
Eric, you had me at tumor. All right, hold on a second. We have somebody else there who, let's see what they have to tell us. Hello?
Call from Egan.
Call from Egan, can you...
I can hear you.
Can you? I don't know if top that is the right way to put it. I was thinking somebody would say, well, I just, you know, it's so cold I couldn't get my car started this morning, and I want to, you know, I'd love to go to the tournament. Wow. What do you got, Cole?
I was going to say I was going to bring my 3-year-old who loves hockey, but I think that first story beats me, so I might as well just give him to him.
Well, Cole, that's very nice of you. Where are you? Now, you're from Egan. Do you, are you picking Lakeville North? Do you have anybody that you're rooting for in the state hockey tournament?
I went to Lakeville, and I work in Edina, so.
Oh! So you are from Lakeville North?
Yeah, well, it was only one school, but yep, I got to cheer for the Lakeville boys.
Wait a minute. When did they split? You sound very young.
30 years old.
When did they split?
06. It's been 10 years.
Oh, 10 years. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, Cole, that's very nice of you, and I wish we had more than one ticket to give because I'd love to give it to you and your son. But if the story of Eric's is pretty compelling.
No, I understand. No, not a big deal.
All right. Thanks so much, Cole. Let's go back to Eric here. Now, Eric, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah.
Now, you are going to give this to your friend and not keep it for yourself, right? Because that would be, you'd
yeah,
burn in hell
no,
if you did.
For sure. He's one of my best friends. I'd be glad to, you know, happy to do something for him.
Is
he deserves it.
Is he taking you? Because you said he has five kids. Is he going to take one of the kids?
Well, you know what? I hope he takes one of his kids. I'm sure they get a big thrill out of it.
Well, Eric, you're going to have to come down here because you are winning him. He can't come for the tickets. You need to come for him.
Okay.
You have to come and pick him up. I would recommend coming tomorrow and getting him. And
all right.
Sam Ekstrom will take all the information from you. And
okay.
Honestly, I expected somebody to say that, my hockey stick, I snapped it, and I'm sad, so I want to go to a game.
I just wanted to do something nice for my buddy. He's been a good friend to me. So
how is he doing since he went back to school? I mean, is it looking a lot better for him? I hope it is.
It looks pretty good. You know, he had some good medical staff that did the work for him. But, he's doing fine, you know, but it was just kind of one of those things that he's almost 40 and it kind of turned his life upside down for a little bit there.
Yeah, that'll do it. It puts life in perspective for many of us when you think you're having a bad day and you hear something like your friend went through. Well, Eric, we'll put you on hold and we'll let you collect. Oh, let me, before we do that, who are you picking?
Who am I picking?
You going with Lakeville North? You think of Diners or another one you like?
Well, I got to go with North. I don't know who can stop that line.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those brothers, my God, that's some talent on that team. Imagine if they were triplets. It's enough that there's twins and then the younger brother who's doing pretty damn good, too. All right, Eric, thanks for sucking the life out of all of us.
Sorry about that, but thanks for the ticket.
No, it's great. I hope your friend enjoys the sessions. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care. That was Sam was right. He told us that this guy's you want to talk to because that's
probably the winner.
Yeah, and I hope that his friend does enjoy the game, and I hope that he, you know, thinks the prognosis is great for him and everything works out. Now, you've been watching here. Are they still at the Woodlands, Texas home of Adrian Peterson? Has KHOU had anything about them leaving?
It's looking like they might be staying for dinner. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's a good thing.
So I haven't had any reports that they've left yet.
Well, it's still a few hours before they really have to fire up the grill. What do you do, by the way, if you're, you know, Adrian Peterson and you got millions? Of course, I was going to say, do you fire up the grill or do you order, do like takeout? Do you call a pizza guy? Send somebody out for Chinese?
Have your private barbecue chef come out, start out the pit. Well, pretty sure he's got a big barbecue pit in his backyard.
You'd think, but see, also, this is a guy who, what, $9,000 in back, or $12,000 in back taxes. He didn't pay him that in a condo he had, a penthouse, beautiful. Going on a sheriff's auction. That just is so baffling to me. He probably just decided, ah, to heck with it. It's not exactly to ding his credit rating that bad with all the money he has. But I'm a big pizza guy. I just, you know, order.
It's not that fancy.
Send somebody
don't
out.
Have to be.
He's got to have a...
But do you think it's a good thing the longer they stay?
Oh, yeah.
Or a shorter stay would have been better
when
he just shows up and...
No, because I would think in a long stay, what you're doing is you're laying out for him... everything you want him to do as a player, everything you think he can do. I don't think it's when the longer you go, it's not, well, we really want you. I don't want to come. We really want you. I don't want to come. I don't think it's that at all. I think a short one would be he would be very curt and he would let you.
Split. I'll say I'm not playing for you guys.
I'm not playing.
Be traded.
Leave. Yeah, I don't want to hear any of this. I'm, you know, tell me you can hang out, but I'm not gonna play. And there's nothing to be gained by them staying. I think the longer it goes, the better it is for them, for him. I mean, if ultimately they both. The Vikings truly want him back. I know they all said it, but that was the company line they were going with. So, no, I think that it's a good thing. And maybe they'll figure something out with him. Certainly not financially, because I don't think they're going to talk him into taking less money to stay. The whole argument, we gave you that $12 million. You didn't do a damn thing. Just sat on your ass. I don't think this is going to fly with him.
Because just recently we let Jared Allen play on a $17 million cap hit. So he's just going to say, I've been here a long time, too. Why can't?
And if you're his agent or AP, you're going to remind him, hey, you just got a $10 million increase on a cap hit. So if you want to look at it one way, my hit's only five.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the, you know, one way of hitting the math. Know what I'm saying?
It's not a bad way to think about it.
Not bad at all. Wow. Music. Our walkout music.
Yeah.
Our walkout talkout music. Thanks for joining us. As I mentioned, we'll be back Monday because tomorrow and Friday we have wall-to-wall coverage of the state hockey tournament, the Class AA games. Every one of them will be on 105 The Ticket tomorrow.
East Grand Forks is now up 4-0 with like 10 seconds
to
go.
How about
that? That game's done.
Well, you never know. Maybe they come back in the last 10 seconds. Doubtful. Anyway, Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson coming up next, 4-7. We look forward to talking to you again. Have a great week and a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
We'll stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground? When the man comes around.
Pure Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.